The NBA playoffs last night, Dame Lillard with a big shot.
Right back, knocked into the backcourt with 6 seconds to shoot. Back across midcourt, drives down the right side. He's bumped, throws up a prayer, and makes it! As he's falling to the floor, Dame hits the two. He's got 30.
Well, my prediction was that the Nuggets would find a way and win last night. So much for that prediction. But I do like the fact that we have some Game 7s in the NBA. As the Blazers beat the Nuggets last night in Portland, 119-108. Lillard and McCollum combined for 62 points. Game 7 of that series will be, well, we got to wait all the way until Sunday, as Portland will be at Denver. They have not announced the game time yet for that one. That's Game 7, Portland at Denver. Be a second straight series. Denver has home court advantage for a Game 7. Of course, beat Dusty Spurs. I know he appreciates me bringing that up. Game 7 of the first round of the playoffs. Of course, if the Spurs would have done something better at the end of the game, they might have had a chance to win that one. But, hey,
they don't blow a 19-point lead in the second game. They might not even get to that game.
Yes, ands and buts, right? So Game 7 coming up Sunday between the Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. Also last night, NBA playoffs, it was the Sixers trying to stay alive, and one of their acquisitions, Jimmy Butler, coming up big.
Jimmy into the lane, hangs on Siakam, banks it up and in. Jimmy Butler with a kiss off the window. 8 seconds to go. Sixers by 13. Raptors ball. Leonard with it. Leonard has it stolen by Jimmy. 3 seconds. A race to the rim. Up. Layup. Good. Jimmy Butler has scored 4 in a row.
Sixers win 112-101, and that forced a Game 7 in Toronto. Butler with 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. Game 7 of the Raptors-Sixers is on Sunday. Why are we not playing on Saturday? There's nothing on the schedule on Saturday. Wouldn't you want a primetime Saturday night game on ABC for a playoff game?
You would think. Instead, they don't want to get overrun by NASCAR. I'm just being facetious, obviously, yeah. There, but I have no idea why they're not playing on, so it doesn't make
because
any
sense. Sunday you're going to have possibly 3 Game 7s.
Yeah.
Because if the Rockets space beat the Warriors tonight,
they'll be spaced out. They won't be at the same time.
Well, they'll space them out, but
have one on Saturday.
So Saturdays, there's nothing. So Game 6 tonight between the Warriors and the Rockets, we'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment. Plus, there is a job opening. If for all the people out there, there's any good jobs out there. There's a really good one out in L.A. I'll tell you more about it coming up in a moment. Local sports information, Dusty.
Yes, yesterday the Northern Plains League track and field meet was held, and there's a lot of area athletes, obviously, that did well. Most of our area teams are in the Northern Plains League, so some great performances yesterday. The girls' team champion was Lakeside with 109 points. They were 1 point above Lincoln in second with 108. St. John's finished in third place. On the boys' side, St. John's took first place as a team with 100 points. Silver Lucas second with 73, and Thunder Ridge finished third with 70. Just some highlights from yesterday. Aubrey Donnelly won 3 gold medals for Lincoln. On the girls' side, J.C. Bath, a multiple gold medal winner. She took 2 of them. And then Ryan Brown of Osborne also won 2 gold medals yesterday. Some highlights on the boys' side. Jordan Wary of Osborne won 2 gold medals in the league championship shot and discus. And then Brady Paulin of St. John's won 3 gold medals, high jump, long jump, and javelin. So those are kind of the highlights from yesterday. It would take a long time to go through all that, but you can find the full results from the NPL League track and field meet at ncksports.com to see how your favorite athletes and teams did yesterday in Mankato. Also yesterday, MCL Golf, Phillipsburg took first as a team at 332. Trigo was second at 340. Smith Center finished in 7th place. Parker Krobe of Plainville was the individual champion. He's had a great season, shot a 73 there yesterday. Top Smith Center finisher was Austin Hobelman in 11th place at MCL Golf yesterday at TMP, or in Hayes, I guess, TMP hosting. Today's schedule, track and field, Mid-Continent League meet was supposed to be yesterday. It was moved to today in Phillipsburg. That starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And the NCAA League track meet is this afternoon at Solana, hosted by Sacred Heart at Kansas Wesleyan at 3:30 this afternoon. If you're expecting to go to softball in Russell today, they had made up those games for Russell on, I think, Wednesday. They said they were going to play if the field conditions were good, and the field conditions aren't good enough. So no Beloit-Russell doubleheader this afternoon in softball. Those games have been canceled, and obviously with regional starting Monday, they're not going to be made up. So no Beloit-Russell softball here this afternoon. So look at what's going on, the latest in local sports, and as always, check out ncksports.com for the most recent activity in the local area.
All righty. We mentioned the NBA playoffs continuing tonight, Game 6 between the Warriors and the Rockets, and the storyline, Kevin Durant out for the rest of the Western Conference semifinals, and a surgeon says that Durant could be out until deep in the Western Conference finals, so that could change things. But the Warriors do lead 3-2 in that best of 7. Game 6 is tonight. I believe Houston's going to win tonight. Golden State's going to win Game 7, which means take the Rockets to win. Actually, take Golden State to win and close it out tonight. Go opposite of my prediction. Or the Rockets are going to win Game 6 and 7. But here's the think about this, though. The Rockets have an unbelievable opportunity now, even though they're down 3-2. Last year, they caught a bad break. Paul got hurt, which most people thought would probably eventually happen. I think they would have won that series had Paul been healthy for all 7 games. He missed Game 6 and 7. This year, you catch a break. Durant gets hurt when he's playing great. Now you have a chance to just hold serve at home, and then you got to win one on the road, which you've almost won a couple of games on the road at Golden State when Durant was healthy. So this it's really now or never for the Houston Rockets when you really think about it, because Chris Paul's not getting any younger, and the Rockets have a lot of money tied up, so they're not going to make probably a lot of big changes to their roster next year. How much longer can Harden play at this level? I mean, you got to take advantage of the windows of opportunity that are presented to you. And right now, the Rockets, even though down 3-2, have a really good opportunity here to beat the Golden State Warriors and, I guess, stop the dynasty because the Warriors are going for the three-peat.
Yeah, they have this is basically the exact scenario Golden State had last year in the Western Conference Finals. It's we're down 3-2, got to win at home and then win on the road. And one of their top players is out. So, you got to figure out how to do it. And obviously, like we talked about yesterday, the thing that with the Warriors it's going to come down to is can they get any help from their bench?
Yeah.
Because obviously you're taking a starter away with Kevin Durant. And so you've got to have somebody step up, be ready to go. And that's the biggest question for me. I think they can. I think the Warriors are somehow going to sneak by. I'm going to say in 7. But I'm not going to be surprised if they go to Houston and win tonight. I think they still have enough firepower to be able to win the series. But Houston's obviously in a better position right now than they would have been if KD was healthy and playing. There's no question about that.
No doubt. So if there is a Game 7, that will be Sunday with 2 other Game 7s, which I love Game 7s. I just maybe spread them out over a couple of days would be better. So anywho.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on Sunday, too. So it's like graduations and stuff like that. Mother's Day, people are doing
tomorrow
stuff.
Too, but.
Yeah.
The Lakers still need a head coach. So if you are unemployed or looking to switch jobs, here's an opportunity for you. The Lakers are just an organization that's in disarray, it seems. And LeBron, you thought things were bad in Cleveland. I think they're actually worse in L.A. in regards to all the drama.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Magic that just jumped ship, caught everybody off guard. And then the Lakers were like, and they fired Luke Walton, let him go. So now they're trying to find a coach. So then they're trying Tyronn Lue, which I think is a joke, but Tyronn Lue was head coach with LeBron and the Cavs, so now it's like, oh, so Lue's going to be head coach of the Lakers? That's the best the Lakers can do is get Tyronn Lue as their head coach? No, they can't even get that.
No.
Tyronn Lue, they were working on a contract, and they couldn't agree on the length of the deal because the Lakers just wanted to be the length of LeBron's deal. And Lue's like, dude, I'm more than just LeBron, which you're not. Because basically you haven't won without LeBron.
Yeah, it would not be anything as a coach without LeBron.
No, exactly. So that's falling apart. So now the Lakers are interviewing Frank Vogel, who was the head coach of the Magic and with the Pacers, did a nice job with the Pacers. And I think that would probably – I think Frank Vogel's a better coach than Tyronn Lue, in my opinion. That's just what I think. It's just that he hasn't had LeBron James.
Yeah.
And now he would. At the age of 34 would be LeBron. I think he's 34 now. So if you need a job, apply. Lakers still looking for a head coach. The NHL playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, we're talking playoffs. The Boston Bruins take a 1-0 lead over the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Up the right side board, stopped by Pastrnak. Winds it into the corner, sent it for Marchand, in front, score! Bergeron! And the Bruins, with back-to-back power play goals, have taken the lead 3-2.
Bruins beat the Hurricanes 5-2. They lead the best of 7-1-0. Now I understand why the NBA is not having Game 7s on Saturday. They don't want to compete against the Blues Sharks.
Yeah.
Which is actually on NBC, believe it or not, not the sports network. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Blues Sharks Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. All right, Major League Baseball. I can't wait to share this story about the fan promotion that the Twins have done. But before I get to that, we want to cover Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is coming to Kansas City. Of course, he is one of the richest players in baseball. He doesn't come to Kansas City very often. He's a member of the Phillies. The Royals are fun to watch. And, you know, like Les Norman said, you know, 13-25, the Royals' record, and they'll take on the Phillies, who are 21-15. Homer Bailey on the hill tonight at 7:15 against Jake Arrieta. It's an interleague series. And, you know, we were talking with Les Norman from Breaking a Norm, and he has also been with us before. He came to the area for the Men and Boys Rally a couple of years ago. A motivational speaker. He's also a life coach. He does some sports talk radio as well. And Les says that the fans, even though the Royals are losing games, not a great record, they got to get on board, man. This team's exciting to watch.
Fans of the Royals, I urge them to not pay attention to the wins and losses. Watch the greatness. Watch the superstars in the making that you're seeing right now, the resurgence of Alex Gordon in the final year of a big contract year. Imagine Nicky Lopez coming up from AAA and being that partner with Adalberto Mondesi up the middle for years to come. Whit Merrifield, like Ned said, is Whit Merrifield. Dozier leading the American League. He does not miss mistakes. He has developed into an amazing hitter, and O'Hearn starting to swing the bat well because they were patient and gave him the at-bats. Soler, if he could just get the strikeouts down, you're going to see another guy. And pretty soon you're going to forget who he got traded for in the Wade Davis deal. So, yeah, we're seeing amazing things. And if you just watch every night something great happening, you're going to start to fall in love with this team even more very quickly.
I would agree with that. They just need pitching.
100%.
They need a lot of pitching, and they just don't have it yet. And I will say, I don't think it's in the minor leagues right now. That's what's scary. Because they've got Nicky Lopez, as he mentioned, who's just, he's the future second baseman. Him and Mondesi could be a pretty good double play tandem for years to come. You know, Whit, you know how many years he has left because he's 30, but he's only been in the big leagues for about 3 or 4 years. And Gordon's playing well. He might sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal after the season. He's in the final year of his contract. Now, things offensively look okay if Soler can stay healthy. And Dozier, of course, is hitting the cover off the ball, although he'll probably cool down. O'Hearn, I think they like at first base. You got the young kid, Villalba, a catcher, I think he's 22 in the minors, that they really like. But they've got Salvi, although Salvi's out. They didn't want to rush that kid. So they got Maldonado, who won't be with this team next year. I would highly doubt he would. You'd have Salvi. Or maybe Salvi becomes a trade piece, and then you hand over the reins to this young kid in the minors. The position player situation, Bubba Starling's playing great right now in AAA, and I would be okay with them bringing him up and cutting Chris Owings. I'd much rather see that. So the Royals, I think position player-wise, are in pretty good shape for years to come. The problem is, can you name a starting pitcher in the minor leagues that the Royals are going to have ready to go, like within the next year or two? I mean, their draft last year, they got starting pitchers, but they're probably 2, 3, 4 years away.
Sayer and
I forgot the other one. There's a Lynch kid
from Florida. Kowar.
Yeah, he's good. But what do you have in the minors? Kyle Zimmer's not going to be a starting pitcher.
No.
He'll be a reliever or an opener. Maybe that's – and they're working with Kyle Zimmer as an opener down in the minors, like the Rays do. Guy that's kind of a starter. He'll pitch the first 2 or 3 innings, and then you go to your actual starter, and which is then be a reliever, and then you shorten the bullpen. It's kind of a weird way of playing with it, but it's worked for the Tampa Bay Rays here and there last couple of years. I just don't see Josh Domont's got a really good arm, but he's kind of wild. I just don't see the answers. I mean, you can fill the bullpen and get arms. You know, you can fix that in an off season, whether it's acquisitions or you got some failed starters in the minors that turn into one-inning guys. I get that part. But you got to find guys in the minor leagues that can throw 6 effective innings. And that's all we're asking, 6.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Major League Baseball is now. You don't see lots of pitchers going 7, 8, 9 innings anymore. I just don't see that right now in the minor league system, and I haven't for the last couple of years. They got lucky with Brad Keller. That's a rule 5. He wasn't in their system.
Yeah, exactly.
Homer Bailey wasn't in their system. Duffy was in their system, but he's a veteran.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking? Junis is in their rotation right now. Junis is the only guy, really, that they've developed in their organization. And Duffy, but that's on the previous regime.
And he's on the back end of being a rotation guy anyway.
Right.
I mean, he's not what we're talking about here with the young guys that need to come up.
You know, Glenn Sparkman doesn't exactly spark me up.
No. Let's go back to what we talked about the other day. You know, umpire says, he did a great job of getting us through 5. What? He got you through a little over half the game? Good job.
Right.
But that's the way it is now. I mean, it's, you know, if you get through 6, he did good.
Right.
So that's just one less than what was good compared, you know, quality start of 6 and however many runs. I think it's 3 runs, and that's a quality start nowadays. And
right.
It's like, Okay, that's all we need from you, man. Come up, give
nowadays.
Me six.
Six innings, give up three runs.
Unfortunately, the Royals' bullpen is not what it used to be, so you give me six, you're still giving up a lot of runs and three with the bullpen right now, the way they're going right now. Like I say, they have steadied a little bit the last few weeks, but then you got to figure out that part too. But like you said, it's easier to figure that out than it is the rotation if you're doing it right.
Yeah. You know, Keller's supposed to be AC's on the hill tomorrow, Homer Bailey tonight, and then Junis is on Sunday, and Junis's ERA is 5.5, and that's usually not a good thing. Okay, this is really neat, and I like it, and I really wish I can't believe professional sports organizations don't catch on to this. But the Minnesota Twins are in first place. They have the best record now in the American League, and maybe all of baseball. I'd have to check the standings. And now, and they got a beautiful ballpark, Target Field. If you haven't been, it's a beautiful park. It's really nice. It's downtown, spent a lot of money. But the Twins haven't been selling tickets. Now, I think part of that is it's not a dome, so you're outdoors, a little
Minnesota.
Chilly. Right. But the Twins decided to do something. They decided to sell tickets at $5 a pop. They sold 20,000 tickets in one day.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself this question if you're a Major League Baseball guru, marketing person, if you're the owner, the GM, the team president, CEO, whatever. Would you rather have a whole bunch of empty seats? Or would you rather have those seats filled at a discounted price and then those people are going to go to the concession stand, they're going to buy $8, $10, $12 beers because they're like, hey, I didn't have to spend a lot of money on my tickets.
Yeah.
And because what this tells you, if you can read between the lines here, the Twins sold 20,000 tickets in a day when they offered the tickets at $5 a pop. That means people are interested in going to watch the Twins.
Yes.
That means that there are people that want to watch baseball. What it's saying is, we always have wanted to watch baseball, but it's too freaking expensive.
Yes.
That's what this tells you. So the Twins, listen to this. Between 6 p.m. last night and 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, so the night before, the Twins sold 20,000 tickets for the remaining 11 May home games on the $5 flash deal. They're now releasing 1,000 more per game for those 11 contests. So now they've added another 1,000 per game at $5 a shot for the next 11 home games, which are in May when it is a little bit cooler in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Why don't the Royals do that? And the Royals are doing some things that are cheaper. They're doing a happy hour thing, I think they're going to do on Fridays or something. They're going to have some cheaper stuff. Of course, they have Buck Night. They've done that. Although the hot dogs are horrendous to eat. Don't do that. Don't get the dollar hot dogs. there's a reason they're a dollar.
Yeah.
But now they've got, you discovered they have a place there at Kauffman Stadium. We took advantage of it on the Royals bus trip, although they don't have the signs out very big for you to actually see.
Yeah.
Where there's half-price stuff.
And that's the thing is like, think outside the box a little bit here if you're a Major League Baseball team. And I can give this personal example. Okay, when I go to the ballpark, first of all, you're paying too much for tickets. I shouldn't have to pay the same amount to get into a Royals game as I do a Chiefs game. And I know it's not the same, but for some places it is. You can spend $30 on a special deal at a Chiefs game. You can spend $50 to get a good seat at a Royals game down low.
Yes.
And it's like there's 81 of these games. A ticket on the lower level should not cost $50.
No, I agree.
I don't care where it's at.
Well, now, based on supply and demand. If the Royals are winning, everybody, you can.
Exactly.
But when it's empty
now,
and it's not even close to being sold out.
You know, I understand why the prices went up a little bit after they won the World Series. Because, hey, let's capitalize on this. That's the American way. It's why we're a capitalist country.
Absolutely.
Let's capitalize on it. So I understand that. But now you're getting into the situation like, why am I going to spend $42 to sit on the third base line when I'm watching a bad product?
Right.
And people, like, you'll make
concessions.
And
spend $12 beers.
But here's the thing. So even if my ticket's $42, okay, when I get in there, I'm not going to spend $12 on a beer.
Or $10 on a pizza.
Yeah, and
a mini pizza.
Chicken tenders and fries for $15, right. You know? And it's like, okay, so, but here's what, you do this K-special buys that they have, or budget buys. You get a hot dog for $3 or a pretzel for $3 or whatever,
beer for five.
So, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm actually spending, I would never spend any money.
Right.
but I will spend up to as much as I would have spent on one beer. You're getting all that money anyway.
And what's funny is you could go in, let's use your numbers here. So let's say that the ticket was $42. You pay $15. That's what parking is for a Royals game, which is a lot cheaper than Chiefs games, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Chiefs, the Royals tickets are, for the most part, more affordable than Chiefs.
But what I'm saying is there's 81 games.
Right. There's more games.
Compared to eight.
So let's go on your hypothesis here. So $42 for a ticket, $15 for parking. Just keep adding it up. So you're at $57.
Yeah.
Now you may say, you know what? I don't want to buy a beer for $12. I already spent $57. You might not spend another penny in that place. Okay, so $57. Now, if you get a half price ticket, let's just say half price ticket, $21. You'd probably be more willing to do that, right? So you spend 21 plus 15 for parking is 37. You save $21. Odds are you're going to spend more than $21 at the concession stand, and the Royals come out ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like
now I don't feel bad about getting the $12 beer, and I'll get the $10 pizza, and my kid wants Dippin' Dots. Ah, there's $30.
Yeah, and it's like, I didn't spend that much money coming in.
That's
like you do all this, and you end up spending more money.
Yes.
I do it when I see things on sale.
Absolutely.
You know, when I see a great deal at a restaurant or something like that, I'm like, I usually don't spend this much money on this food, but I can't pass up that deal.
Right.
I got to go get it.
Sure.
And then I end up spending more than I really would have if I would have bought stuff at regular price, probably. So, I mean, that's what people do.
Well, that's what the Twins fans just did.
Exactly.
$5 for a game? Why not? Let's take the whole family for $20, $25.
Exactly. So, you know, they're going to spend that money. One of the things I read about the Twins deal, too, and I'm surprised that teams don't capitalize on this, like the Royals especially, is one of those things. They offered something else there that was just entry into the park. There's no seat, but it's entry into the park. And that might have been those extra 1,000 tickets. But all that room in the outfield with the Royals game, why do you not sell that?
I
know now it's not, you know, it's not going to be a big deal now because they're not filling it up anyway.
Sure.
But sell that. Somebody might walk down to a seat and sit down.
That's right.
Who knows? But you know, when they're winning and that place is packed, man, capitalize on all that room in the outfield that people can stand around, because the concourse is so wide and there's so much to do out there too. Just give me just let me get into the park. I don't have to sit.
I still think it's so ironic that the organization in all major league sports that should get it better than any other organization in all of professional sports is a guy that owned Walmart.
Yeah.
What's the moniker of Walmart? We sell for less, right?
Yes.
I mean, the Royals should adopt that, because I mean, I cannot believe that the Atlanta Falcons beat everybody to the punch. The Atlanta Falcons went half price, $5 beers, blah 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 blah, and they found out they sold more beer and made more money. And it's not just beer; it was everything. They cut everything in half, basically.
Yeah, like $4 nachos and stuff like that.
And
saw those prices on that.
And they made more money. They made more money selling that stuff at cheaper prices, because people were like, "Well, hey, now I can." It's just what we talked about. Now, the only downside, or one of the downsides, would be there's longer lines at the concession stand or in the concourse, a little bit more packed, whatever the case may be. But the point is that you make more money. Isn't that the idea that these organizations, this capitalistic society, as you just said?
Yeah.
Why don't the Royals, when they only have 10,000 people showing up at a game in May, why don't they do the same thing the Twins did? Well, $5 tickets, and we'll cap it at 15,000. You get 15,000 people to buy $5 tickets, and there's already 10,000 people that are going to the game, you still have 15,000 extra seats to sell at high prices. I've never understood that. There's just some people, and I've heard this, you don't want to devalue the product. Well, first of all, the product's got to be good.
Well, yeah, don't devalue the product on the field. The Twins is an exception because they're playing good baseball right now. But for the Royals, I mean, these things would make more sense to get people in there.
In some cases, you're paying more as a season ticket holder now than you did when the Royals had Hosmer and Moustakas and you were starting to be a contender than you are now. So, yeah.
Because it's rare. Once they put them prices
they don't bring
up,
them
it's
down,
rare to
they?
Bring them down.
Not very often.
And, you know, some places they might. You know, there might be some different areas in the stadium that have different deals. But you know, they have it on the ballpark app to where you can go for like $99 a month. You can go to any game you want, like during the month. So you could go to, you know, all however many, like 10, 12 home games in 1 month for $99.
Yeah, the Royals do things like that. I will say that. And the other thing you're trying to do is get people to the park. They have Dog at the Park or Bark at the Park now. And then they've got Star Wars night, Game of Thrones night. They're trying to do all kinds of things to get people to the ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, the simplest thing? Make it cheaper. That would be the simplest thing. You wouldn't have to spend all the money on all the promotion material for, you know, Star Wars or Star Trek night.
Yeah.
You really wouldn't need to go
I guarantee you ask somebody, what's the biggest deterrent of you going to a baseball game? They're going to say the price of the ticket. There's no question.
Price and weather.
Yeah. And you know, obviously location, too. But, sure. I mean, if you're talking about the ones that are close, you know, that can go in a day and go to a Royals game.
Well, think about people right here in our neck of the woods. Would you be more likely to drive to Kansas City tomorrow for a baseball game if they're $5 a piece instead of 20, 30, or 40?
Yes.
And yet you'd spend all the money on gas.
Yeah.
And you would probably stop and eat somewhere before the game or after the game and have ended up spending more money than you would have at the regular price of those tickets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why organizations don't get it. The Twins do, and they're finding out that they're reaping the benefit of it. And it makes sense to do it in May when it's colder months. That really gets some people out there. Then they might get some people out there that haven't been out there for a while going, hey, this is awesome, or they've never been to Target Field. This is cool. And now they might buy a half-season ticket package or a 10-game package, or they might go buy regular ticket price in June and July when the Twins are competitive. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, Kansas Speedway. I don't know what the tickets cost there, but I'm sure those aren't cheap. Kansas Speedway.
$5.
No, they're not $5. Sister Hazel performing as a pre-race concert. Remember Sister Hazel?
Man.
Yeah.
That's throwback.
We're going back, man. That's a pre-race concert for the Digital Ally 400. That'll be at Kansas Speedway. And, the race is going to be, there's the Digital Ally 250 that will be tonight at 7:30. And then the Digital Ally 400 is tomorrow night, the big race in NASCAR. And that will be at 6:30 tomorrow night there in Kansas City at Kansas Speedway. I have never been to Kansas Speedway for a race. I would like to someday. I've had people offer, but it just never has worked in my schedule. And it always seems to be Mother's Day weekend, which I think is unfortunate because I usually have things going on that I can't do that. Family comes first. So when I see the Speedway, I think it'd be so awesome to go to a night race. I think that would be cool.
Because
they have one in October. It's in the afternoon, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then the one that they have
This one used to be in the on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay. Are they both night races?
I don't know. I went in April, the only time I ever went, and it was a little bit chilly, kind of windy, and it was a Sunday afternoon in April. But they've kind of mixed around the schedule. I think this one's usually the night race now, if I remember right. I don't know.
I'm gonna pull it up.
But it would be fun. I would love to go to a night race too.
I think that'd be.
It was really fun the first time I went. I think if you have the chance to experience it, it's a blast. I mean, if you don't like NASCAR, you know, you're not a huge fan.
Apparently, they flipped it because the Sunday October 20th race is afternoon race. Hollywood Casino 400 is October 20th. So if you can't make it to the races at Kansas Speedway this weekend, there is the one coming out October the 20th. And then, of course, the one this weekend coming up tomorrow night, that's a night race at 6:30. Yeah, I think the night race would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I hear people say it's awesome. But anyway, who's the favorite? Well, Kevin Harvick's had a lot of success at Kansas Speedway. He's one of the favorites. There are some others that certainly could win, as we know. You know, there's always Jimmy Johnson, right? Jimmy's still racing?
I believe so.
Well,
but he's not been.
He hadn't been doing so well the last couple of years.
Up at the top.
I mentioned Eric Jones, Kurt Busch, opening odds to win tomorrow night, 20-1. Denny Hamlin, 20-1. Eric Amarillo, 20-1. Looks like Harvick has. Oh, Clint Boyer, Kansas Zone, 16-1. And Kyle Larson, 10-1 odds. Chase Elliott, 10-1 odds. Ryan Blaney, 10-1 odds. Martin Truex Jr. He finished first in the race, both races back in the spring and the fall of 17. And then last year he finished second, and he's 7-1 odds. Joey Logano's 7-1. He's won at Kansas Speedway before. And Harvick, he won last year's race, and he's had a lot of success at Kansas Speedway. He's 7-1 odds. And Brad Keselowski is 7-1 odds. So, you know, what it's telling me, and Kyle Busch is really good odds, 7-2. So, you know, there are guys that like certain tracks in NASCAR. There are certain guys that do well on certain tracks. And there's no question, Harvick and Truex and, you know, I remember, you know, Kurt and Kyle Busch have had success at Kansas Speedway. But Jimmy Johnson, I don't remember. Has Jimmy really had a lot of success at Kansas Speedway?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
My racing guy, Tracy, just sent me. He said Truex is going to win it. So,
okay.
So book it.
Well, that's the guy I would pick.
Yeah.
Because I followed that a little bit, and I know that Truex has had success there. And, of course, he's been on a roll the last couple of years. It'd be cool to see Clint Boyer win it, Kansas' own guy. I'm going to pull up Jimmy Johnson's stuff here real quick because I want to see how he's done. I don't know what my infatuation with Jimmy Johnson is, other than he's really good. he finished
one
first.
One of the best to ever do it. That's what infatuation is.
He finished 19th last year. He's 25-1 odds. He won a Kansas race in 2008. He won the fall race 2011 and 2015 spring. So he's won at Kansas three times.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won since 2015. So may the best driver win at Kansas Speedway coming up tomorrow night. All right, we were sharing this yesterday, dangerous sports stories. Talk about the guy that was impaled by a javelin, fell backwards, a Georgia freshman at a Georgia track meet, and this is college, and a collapsed lung and punctured lung and all that, had to have surgery. They had to grind off part of the javelin off, and then they eventually went and had the surgery and removed it from his body. He was just a spectator. Somebody put the javelin in the ground, and he fell backwards, and it went right through the lower part of his, through his shoulder blade and through. That's quite a freaky accident. We were talking about discus and various things. We've seen some video where people have been hit by things like that. John Sinadio on Facebook says, a girl from Lincoln was hit by a hammer during an indoor meet when she was in college. She was a pole vaulter and was stretching, and someone hit her leg, and it shattered her leg.
Ooh.
That's a freak injury
as well.
Yeah,
that probably would do that for sure.
So I've always tell, and, you know, in sports, it's dangerous even before they play. You know the horrible accident that happened in Wichita with the kid when he was a bat boy. Remember the swing of the bat and killed him? And that's what makes me nervous about T-ball. And I was at my kid's T-ball practice, first one, is the little kids don't know all that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and my kid swings really hard with a bat. It's like, you got to know where everybody's at before you're swinging that bat and give yourself room. But it doesn't apply just to a 4 or 5 year old. It applies to any age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, beer league softball, it also applies. And so also track and field, you don't think of that as a dangerous sport, but you got to be alert for the javelin if you're watching that. Or shot put, I think you could probably hopefully dodge it, but if you're not paying attention, I don't know how a shot would hit you. But anyway, javelin, the hammer throw, of course, as we said. Discus, I think, is one that could go awry, and that could hurt.
Yeah.
So it's there have been some freak track and field injuries, but I don't know, there's been too many freakier than the one I shared about the guy just backing into a javelin.
No, I just keep thinking about that as you describe it now twice on the radio, and it's like, you know, like how, I mean, that's a mortal wound if it goes.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it goes through your heart.
An inch or one way or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about through your shoulder blade, under your shoulder blades, and it's like right there, like... That's scary.
It is very scary. It makes me queasy when I'm talking about it. A couple of other things that you may or may not need to know, fresh off of Twitter. This came out yesterday. Seahawks, NFL, they've released veteran safety Cam Chancellor and wide receiver Doug Baldwin as they failed physicals. So interesting. And here's something from the NBA. Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, wants half of the new NBA refs to be women. He says, and I quote, the goal is, going forward, it should be roughly 50-50 of new officials entering the league should be women. Same for coaches, by the way. We have a program, too. There's no reason why women shouldn't be coaching men's basketball. Adam Silver. Some strong words.
Yeah.
You know, Becky Hammon, she's an assistant for the Spurs, was a really fantastic WNBA player. And Greg Popovich was the first NBA head coach to hire a woman, a full-time assistant coach on NBA level.
Yeah.
She coached, what was it, the G League or D League team and won it.
It was Summer League.
And she won the championship, if I remember correctly. And people say that she's, you know, could have a good shot to be the first woman to be a head coach in the NBA. And I've always said, you know, and I think this applies to any sport. And there's so many people that are sexist out there. It's just ridiculous. I mean, a lot of broadcasters are sexist. And like Jessica Mendoza, who I think does a nice job. I'm not saying she's the greatest at it, but I think she does a really good job.
Yeah.
She does better than some of the men. There's no question. She's an analyst on Sunday Night Baseball, which I haven't watched much this year. She, along with Alex Rodriguez and Matt Vazkersian. And listen, she's good. I'll tell you another person that's really good is Kara Lawson.
Oh,
Kara Lawson is fantastic as a color commentator in studio. Doris Burke is one of the best in the business.
Yes.
And so if you can be, women can be broadcasters and do something that well, I certainly think a woman can be a coach in the NBA. Obviously, they can be an assistant, but to be a head coach, that would be huge. Now, how would you deal with the egos and the machismo and everything else and the testosterone? I don't know. I really don't. I don't see a woman being a head NFL football coach. I don't know if I'll see that before I die. But NBA, certainly, I would say of all the sports, the NBA is the most likely professional sport here in America to have a women's head coach. And I'm talking the big sports, the main sports, would be the NBA.
Yeah. I think the thing is you're not going to – I don't think you're going to see it in baseball because it's just – that's not the women's realm. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, they have softball, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's, right. it's like that's, you know, they're you're not seeing women playing baseball.
Right, because they play softball.
Because they play softball.
Whereas basketball is basketball.
That'd probably be the furthest away.
Right.
Even though the NFL, you know, they're men playing football. There are women's football leagues.
Yes, sir.
So Danny Welniak played in the professional women's league.
We've had her on our
show. So, you know, I could – and there are some assistant coaches that are women. Yes. There's at least one. Mm-hmm. That I know of, so that have been before. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, with the progression that Becky Hammon has made at San Antonio, I think it's easier to see NBA could be the first one to do it and have that first breakthrough as far as a women's Big Four coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know enough about hockey to know where they're at. Obviously, women play hockey, too.
Yeah, I don't think we're
professional
close
women's hockey players are boycotting playing next year because right. they're not getting paid enough.
Right.
So maybe they can roam over into the NHL and coach some men's hockey. I don't know how that all works. But
I think the NBA clearly is way ahead of all the other professional sports when it comes to a woman possibly being a head coach. And I think it'd be great if it happened. And I will say this, and whoever it is has to be extremely strong-willed and have a thick skin, because anybody that is a trailblazer and that person, that woman who becomes the first head basketball or professional sports coach here in America will have to be that. And because she's going to be picked on her moves will be more examined than anybody else's moves. You know, just like when Jackie Robinson played baseball, and you've probably seen 42, that's a good movie. Everybody was looking at him because he's the first black person or black African-American to play Major League Baseball. And they were just waiting for him to fail. People were hoping he would fail. And he caught so much bile and racism and everything else. And the first person to do something is the trailblazer. You know, Colin Kaepernick, and I'm not going to put him in the lines of Jackie Robinson, but I will say this, some people do put him in that same category. Because they say, listen, he took a stand, and he was a trailblazer because he was the first one to really come out and do that. Now, basically, that sabotaged his career, and he may have known it could do that. And some people would say he was a trailblazer because now there's other players that have done protest, and we don't hear nearly as much about them, do we?
No.
It's always harder for the first one. That's why I say, as the oldest child in my family, and Dusty can't relate to this, as the oldest child in my family, I was a trailblazer. I broke down the barriers for my sister.
Yeah.
Okay. And we laugh a little bit, but it's true.
Then your sister, I can get away with that. I'll do that. Let's see how much I can get away with past that.
Curfew was noon. Curfew was.
Damn.
Man, I know. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I had a rough childhood.
The only response for that.
Rough childhood. I had to be in bed by noon so I could get good old potato salad for Ma. But no, curfew was midnight for me. But my sister, I know she didn't have to be home at midnight all the time. So I always joked that I broke down the barrier for my sister. The point of the story is that when you're the first in whatever family it may be, you're a trailblazer. You know, the first woman in the military, that would be a trailblazer. You know, the first, you know, I don't know, has there ever been a female priest in Catholic Church?
No.
That would be a first.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a tremendous trailblazing event. First female official in sports, which we have female officials in basketball now and in the NFL, by the way. Those people are trailblazers. And those first people that have to deal with all the pressure and they're going to have all the focus, once they break down those barriers, or at least the initial barriers, it makes it easier for the next person. Just like the first ever female play-by-play broadcaster or the first female color commentator that we just talked about, Doris Burke or Kara Lawson, whatever. Somebody, I don't know who it is. I don't have it in front of me. There was somebody that was the first.
Yeah.
That was just, everybody was hanging on there every single word because they couldn't wait for her to say something dumb and go, told you she's not qualified to talk men's sports. It's that way across the board, whether it be Jackie Robinson, Colin Kaepernick, the first woman as the NBA head coach, me being the oldest child, breaking down barriers for my sister. Whatever it may be, the first person is the trailblazer.
Yeah. I mean, it's It doesn't matter if it's the first person to do something or a person to step away from the norm. You know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Colin Kaepernick. You know, when you're talking about Colin Kaepernick, and I had to look up these names because I wasn't alive in 1968, but Tommy Smith and John Carlos
right.
at the Olympics.
Right.
You know, they're the ones that stepped away from the norm and put their fists in the air with the black gloves on and said, hey, we're not being treated right.
Right.
This is their point there. And, you know, somebody's going to be that trailblazer to do those things. Mm-hmm. Rosa Parks is that.
Rosa
Martin
Parks
Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Malcolm X did it differently, but he could be one of those too, you know. And
Jesse Owens back in the 30s.
Yeah, and you know, and some of those, and guys like Jesse Owens and Jackie Robinson were put into that position by different people.
Right.
You know, they made themselves good enough to make sure that we knew
right.
what their name was.
Right.
And we're just society.
Right.
They put themselves and got themselves to where they were so dang good mm-hmm. that it was impossible for you to hold them out, to
That's
keep
right.
them from competing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that thing in 1936 did not go over well in Nazi Germany.
No, it didn't.
I mean, I wasn't alive, but it didn't. And, you know, that's just the way it was back then.
Right.
But Jesse Owens did what he needed to do to make sure that he was not going to be left out, that he was going to be there to represent his class and his... You know, he represented an entire group. There's no question. So did Jackie Robinson when he broke the color barrier in baseball. And but those guys, they got that criticism and that racism and all that stuff, that vile, mm-hmm. because somebody else put themselves in that position. Now, there's other guys that put themselves
right
in that position. You know, like a Colin Kaepernick, the
right.
two Olympic athletes that I mentioned a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that brought it on themselves, but they're still trailblazers and said, hey, we need to do something about what's going on.
And if you watch maybe 42, you know, Branch Rickey, he it had to be the right person. You know, think about this. If Jackie Robinson was the wrong person and he was even more thin-skinned than he was,
yeah,
and he went after fans and everything else and he was full of hatred, and the same thing would apply any trailblazer out there. If it didn't go well, then people would be more afraid to get another African-American to play Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. Now you fast forward to present-day America in regards to, let's say, the first NBA head coach that's a woman is Becky Hammon. What if she's not the right person? And the team goes 12-70, and she's just not, and it's just a colossal failure. It's going to make it so much harder for somebody else that's a woman, that's a great coach, to get that opportunity. So it's so much pressure on that first person to do well, is the point.
Yeah.
And thank God Jackie Robinson did. Thank God other people have done the things they did to be trailblazers in our society, in our country. And there will be a day, mark my words, where there will be a female NBA head coach. Whether or not there'll be an NFL Major League Baseball one, I would say not nearly as likely, or take a lot more time. But I think, I don't know, man, maybe this sounds crazy. I think within the next 5 to 10 years, we will have a female head coach in the NBA. You think I'm off?
I 10 would sound all right to me.
Yeah,
I don't
five's
know.
Too soon,
I think
maybe.
Five probably too soon. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe a decade.
You know, if Becky Hammon's the one, then I could maybe see
in
five, because Pop might be. I don't know that she'll go anywhere else in the NBA to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Because everything she has done in the pros has been rooted in San Antonio.
And then if she has success in San Antonio, the sexist people out there will say, well, she inherited Pop's thing, she couldn't do it on her own.
Yeah.
They won't get credit.
I mean, that's just the way. Right.
She had great players.
That's the way it is.
I mean, even guys that have great players. Well, it's easy to be Steve Kerr. Look who he's got on his team.
Yeah.
It's easy to be Bill Self. He has a whole bunch of McDonald Americans. No, it's hard to put these egos and things together. I mean, see the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is a tremendous coach.
Yeah.
He couldn't get it to work this year. But then you amplify it if it would be a woman in that situation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work out. Well, she just doesn't know what she's doing. Too much for her to handle. She's a woman. That's what the sexist people say out there.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Hoping that she fails. And I personally hope the first female head coach in the NBA or any professional sport, I hope she hits it out of the park. Have a great day, great weekend, everyone. Happy Mother's Day, all the beautiful moms out there.